feel and like. Welcome to the City of Goleta's Parks and Recreation Commission meeting on Wednesday, February the 6th. And we're very glad that you are watching us. We'd like to call the meeting to order with our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to move ahead with our roll call.
Commissioner Kelly?
Here.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Present.
Commissioner McGulpin?
Here.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Vice Chair West?
Here. Okay, so I understand that we have a new team member, and we are going to have our beloved director introduce her.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. We are pleased to introduce to you tonight Ms. Dominique Samario. We'll have her come to the podium because this will be special. She is the newest member of our team in Neighborhood Services and Public Safety. She is our management analyst and is already diving into the many new challenges and assignments that we have for her. And we're excited to have her. And she came to us from the City of Santa Barbara, the Waterfront Department. And we're very pleased to have her join our team. And because she's a new member of our team, we're going to have her say a few things to you.
There you go.
No, I got it. That was the first test, actually. So, thank you, members of the commission. I'm really grateful to be here. And so far, I'm nearly 2 months in to the new position, and it's just been wonderful to work with this team in neighborhood services and public safety, and particularly Ms. Plummer, who's been fabulous, and I look forward to working on many parks and recreation projects. So thank you so much.
Well, welcome, and thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, this is normally the time that if we had any public comments during our public forum period, we would take that now. But since we don't, we're going to move ahead to our consent calendar with A1, which is the approval of the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting minutes of December the 5th. And our staff will guide us through that.
So if there are any corrections or adjustments or amendments to the minutes, then we ask the commissioners to let us know. Otherwise, we would just need a motion to approve.
I'd like to move that we approve the minutes as submitted.
Any seconds?
A second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Great. All any opposed? Okay, so we will move on to our discussion action item B1, which is a selection of interpretive signs for the Johnny D. Wallace Park. And I understand that our Parks and Recreation Manager, Joanne Plummer, has a very exciting presentation to tell us about.
Thank you, Vice Chair West. Yes, members of the commission, tonight we are here to talk about some interpretive sign options for Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park. As your staff report indicates, when we looked at the park and all the elements associated with the grant, too, there were a lot of little things that we put into our grant. We put everything into that park, just by the way. Everything is in there. But the grant also allowed us to have a few other options included in there, like interpretive signs. And being so close to the creek in an old town, we have been able to accommodate that. So I'm going to actually ask Adam Gilman from the Boy Scouts to come up to the podium, and I'm going to have him go ahead and deliver this presentation. We found Adam, he'll tell you a little bit about his story, but we were able to cross paths and we're very grateful. Adam has put in numerous hours of time, countless hours. Actually, I'm getting emails at all hours in the early morning and replying to him to go to bed and make sure you're awake in your classes. But he has worked really hard on this, a lot of fact finding, a lot of work with our architect, being out at the site, taking pictures, doing a lot of research and behind the scenes. And we've presented some interpretive sign options questions for you tonight. And I'm going to let Adam go ahead and step up and we'll get going. Turn on.
Thank you, Ms. Plummer. So good evening. My name is Adam Gilman. I'm a local Boy Scout, and I've been working on interpretive signs for the Johnny D. Wallace Park as my Eagle project. I'd like to show you some of the options I've come up with so far. So one thing I'd love, one of the types of signs that I would love to see included in the park are some informative signs about the native plants and animals in the area. So the goal of these would be to improve patron awareness of some of the abundant nature surrounding them, as well as to teach them to recognize some of our native wildlife. With that goal in mind, I tried to make the information as interesting and fun and engaging as possible by including things like fun facts and the some key traits. I also made sure, though, to include important information about them, like their scientific name and the way that they relate to our specific area. So, and with the design, I thought that it would be best, and I would recommend that they be a natural theme, and so that they'd be unobtrusive and fit in with the theme of the park. So this is my first design. It's a rough mock-up of one of the options, but it has all the necessary components. It has you know, the large, easily readable name, with the horticultural or scientific name there, as well as an image. It's royalty free, but it's also colorful and it helps create interest in the sign. And then I included the information. So all of the information comes from reliable sources. It's fact checked, and it I included things like their key traits, their some fun facts about them, and their relation to the area. I also, with the actual design of the sign, it was modeled off of the cross section of the trunk of a tree. Now, I like this because it's a fun, engaging theme, and it fits with the natural content of the signs themselves. I did provide an alternative. So this one is based off of the signs that are already at the park. So it has a very similar layout to that, and it has it's a little bit cleaner, a little bit more professional, but it includes most of the main points. So as you'll see in the next slide, it has the image, it has a large, easily readable name, same information can fit on that, and it fits with the pre-established park design. Another thing to note about these is that they're freestanding, whereas the other ones can be both freestanding and mounted to something. Speaking of that, I have some recommendations on where the signs could be located. So as you can see from the diagram, most of these are placed very spread out, and so as to avoid any impression of crowding, as well as they are in fact located by where the plants would be in the park. So all of these, like the National Champion Tree is located next to the National Champion Tree, Sycamore is located near the Sycamore, and that helps so that the park goers can look at what the sign is talking about at the same time as they're reading the sign.
Adam, if I could jump in here real quick, you'll also notice that the two of the options that were chosen, the Southwestern Willow Flycatcher and the Steelhead Trout, they both are known to be in San Jose Creek. So that's why they're along that location. They really didn't fit anywhere else in the park because you want to be able to look for them around the creek area. So Adam did a lot of work looking at all of the planting plans that we have to make sure that, again, we could put them where we think that the residents will be able to identify them. And along this corridor right here, we have a small section of split rail fence, and then we have split rail fence down here. So that's why they're not evenly spread out along the creek, because we wanted to utilize the split rail fence for reinforcement along this area. And in this area, this is all landscaping as trees, bushes, and fence along here. There's no benches or any obstructions, so those were just evenly spread out. Thank you, Adam.
So The next type of sign that I thought would be amazing to include would be some fitness signs. So these signs would be for the walking trails included in the park. They encourage patrons of the park to take a walk, maybe while their kid is playing taking part of the many activities that are included at the park. I designed them based on the natural leaf design found elsewhere in the park. Like, as you see in this picture, there is the bike rack that includes a very similar shape. Again, fits with a natural theme. So I would recommend there be three signs, one for each of the loops. As you can see there, I identified the north loop, showed where it would be, and include the direction that they'd be walking, as well as a placeholder for where they are. And then I included the distance around that loop, so in feet and in miles. The reason I included both is so that with the mile, it allows them to kind of get a sense of the overall goal of going, you know, a mile. So my recommendation for location would be at the junction of the north and south loop. So that way because the three signs, there would be the north loop, the south loop, and the perimeter. And I believe that a good location would be at the junction of the two loops, and it's at the end of the main walkway. But these would be low to the ground and unobtrusive to avoid any feeling of crowding. So I actually have a unique perspective on this. I'm a scout, and I'd like to tell you about some of the benefits of including scouts in community projects like this. So I found out about this project when my original project proposal became a little too complicated, and I had to go through a number of organizations and like the Coastal Commission that just made it take longer than I had. Yeah. So when discussing alternatives with Ms. Plummer, she told me about a new park that was going in Old Town, and how it would have long-lasting benefits on the community, and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. So with this, I get to learn about the process behind public works like this one, and at the same time, I get to help make a lasting impact on our community. And I think that's really what the Eagle Scout Project is about. So for those of you who may be unfamiliar with what the Eagle Project is, it is the hardest requirement to achieve the highest rank in scouting, which is Eagle. The specific requirement is to plan, develop, and give leadership to others in a service project helpful to any religious institution, any school, or your community. So this requirement covers a huge variety of possible projects. Previous projects have included anything from constructing park benches to organizing a dinner or collecting necessities for homeless. And the Eagle rank is highly coveted, so there is a constant stream of scouts who are looking for projects to do in the area. This is where I believe the city has a lot to offer. So if a project comes up that could be done by a scout or in association with a scout, there's almost always going to be a scout that would be willing and able to do it for their scout project or for their Eagle project. By reaching out to local troops, the city could provide many prospective Eagle Scouts with a project in which they get to learn about the system behind public works and gain valuable life experience. We provide labor, funds if necessary, and materials, and it's mutually beneficial. Just a point to consider, I've definitely learned a lot from working on this project, and I would really like to see other scouts have a similar experience to the one I had. If you have any questions or comments or concerns about either scouts or the signs themselves, I'd be happy to answer as many as I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Adam. That's most impressive, your presentation, and very exciting. So do any of the commissioners have it? Commissioner McLaughlin.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful job. I did have a question on the fitness signs in terms of the height. We don't want the little ones running into them, you know, that sort of thing. So how tall are they?
Yeah, I believe Ms. Plummer might have an
idea of that. Sure. So what
what the goal was is to have them low to the ground to kind of almost blend in with the landscape. We don't want them to be obtrusive in any way. We just wanted to give moms or parents out there that maybe aren't, you know, real excited about going out and exercising, those baby steps to see that while they could just walk a lap of the northern section of the park, and that's a fifth of a mile. So I do that, you know, 2.5 times and I've gone a half mile. So it's really kind of not designed for, it'll be set in the landscaping. So there's no reason that anybody should run into them unless they're in places that they shouldn't be. So they'll be set in the landscaping and they'll just be a few feet high. Again, we're not trying to sign to death the park. We just are looking for a few little options. And if we, in the meantime, can come up with something that is one sign that says Northern Loop, Southern Loop, Big Lap, but there was just so much information that we felt that that would be another big, like a park rules sign. And that's what we were trying to avoid, because being out at the park, it is so beautiful. Our landscape architect has done a beautiful job in the design. We didn't want to take away from that. Again, our contractor has done a fabulous job with the park itself. And so we were just trying to see what we could add. And the location was chosen. And Adam and I have walked those loops numerous times. And the reason that we looked at that location is it's not right at the entrance of the park. If you're walking around and you're heading towards the fitness equipment, it's right there. So if you're going to check everything out or you're going to be near the bike path, it's right there. And so that's why that location was ideal for us, because again, it's out of the regular field of play, so to speak, and tried to blend in with the park.
Any other questions? Commissioner Rodriguez?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for your work. Your ideas here are very, very nice. My question, I think, is more for staff. Are these signs going to be translated? I see that there's a lot of text on the model here. Are there plans for these to be translated into Spanish as well?
We can definitely take a look at that and see maybe how we could configure some of those plans or some of those signs and kind of go a little bit back to the drawing board. Maybe if we put in less signs, we can duplicate the signs in Spanish if we wanted to stay with the same look that we're looking at. Again, we're trying not to inundate the park with signs, mm-hmm. but we also want to provide, number one, the requirement for the grant for the interpretive signs, but number two is that we have some information that's exciting, and so people can learn about what's happening and what was there before us and everything else. So Adam and I will definitely go back to the drawing board and see if it's something we can incorporate into one sign or if we need to minimize the number of signs so that we can duplicate them in Spanish as well. Thank you for that comment.
Commissioner Hart.
Again, thank you for the presentation, Adam. Well done. I want to challenge you a little bit because I know you've put a lot of thought into this, but have you considered the issue of visibility versus blending into the landscape? I was looking at that steelhead trout one and thinking, oh, that would look nice on a tree, but then nobody would notice it. So how did you address that issue?
Well, I think my thinking was that it would not jump out at the eye, but it would be there for anyone who was walking, just as a point of interest to go and look at. I'm not making it like bright pink or something to stand out. it wouldn't be something like that, just because I think it would fit better with nature and with the it would avoid, again, the impression of crowding that we're trying to avoid.
Director?
Madam Vice Chair, I promoted you earlier, so I wanted to make
I ignored it.
but thank you. You are sitting in the chair seat. Staff would like to just express our appreciation to Mr. Gilman for the excellent work that he has put into this project and his presentation here tonight. And it's just a great partnership, I think, that the city is able to enjoy in the development of this park, from these interpretive signs that you're seeing here tonight, through all of the work with the community, with our Hispanic community that we've worked so closely with. So it's just really great to see the park come together with this community collaborative effort that's really great to see.
Thank you.
And in response to Commissioner Hart's comment about blending, the mock-ups that you see are computer generated. We still have to get into the sign shop to see what they can do. So there will be some level of separation, so you can, if we go with the the crosshatch of the log, there would be maybe a white border or something that would separate it from the fence that would, it would be installed on. So
I was going to recommend a pink border, but apparently that's not okay.
Paint, there is no pink in the park. There's red and yellow and turquoise.
Back to the issue of reaching out to future Eagle Scout participants, how do you think that outreach might be most effective?
Well, I know that Scout leaders in the area would be more than happy to enter into a conversation. So something like sending an email to, I could provide some contact information for the Los Padres Council. That's our area. I'm sure that they could get you in contact with local troops as well as local scouts. They do keep a running list of scouts that are looking to get their eagle and looking for projects. So they could definitely provide you with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm assuming that you need from us a plan of action or a vote from us as to which of the sign designs you want us to recommend. Is that correct?
So we can do one of two things. We wanted to bring this item before the commission to allow you to have some input on what we're putting in the parks. You can either, if there was a design that you were felt strongly you wanted to see, then we would move forward with that design. If you trust that as we play around with the English and Spanish option, that would be fine too. And we'll just see which one works best in either of those designs. The other thing that I needed to communicate is you'll see in your packet that there were more things that were considered for placement and location than were listed on that map. And that, again, was Adam went in, took all the species of plants we had that were native, did his homework, looked at all the animals, did the research to see animals and plants and anything that he could find, and he did his fact-finding. So your list is comprehensive. And then in looking at the plans, a lot of our native species aren't necessarily on the edges of the park that lend themselves well to have us have signs there. So that's why you see a different number. So if we definitely wanted to have the cultural of the Chumash impacts in there. We had wanted to make sure we had some animals and some plants and some trees, and then to pay attention to the champion sycamore tree that's out there. So beyond that, some of those, if we have to dwindle them back, we just wanted to see, are the ones we've picked from that list acceptable to you? And if you want to leave it at discretion between Mr. Gilman and myself as we move forward to try to incorporate the Spanish, then that's fine too. So we would just need a motion. Again, if you feel passionate about one over the other, then we'd love to hear that too.
Okay. Do any of the okay, Commissioner Hart.
I want to make sure this last meeting of mine, I get to talk a lot. Just wanted to comment, there is an opportunity, I think, to meet the issue that was brought up about the possible need for Spanish with the alternative sign, because there would be a back to it. I just wanted to throw that out there. The other one, I mean, there could be a back, but it was created for mounting, and I would think that that wouldn't necessarily lend itself to have that evenly distributed front and back.
Actually, I think that's a great idea. Personally, I love the log look, but as you were comparing the other design to designs that are already out there in the park, so I think both choices would be very lovely in the park. But I do like the idea of what these two commissioners suggested. We could have it in English and in Spanish, and as Commissioner Hart suggested, the space would already be right there on the back. So so with that in mind, does any commissioner like to make a motion? Yes, Commissioner Kelly.
I didn't want to make a motion. I had a question. Where the placements of the signs are, would you be able to see the back of it?
Oh, good question.
So for the most part, yes. Yeah, it would be able, you would be able to see the backs of it. And we could also purposely try to adjust for that as well.
So if I can jump in there, what we would do is instead of pushing them you know, further into the landscaping, we would pull them out. So if you were walking one direction, if you're walking east, you'll see one side. You're walking west, you'd see the other side. So, or north, south, if they're along the creek side. So it would, that would be a possibility.
Any motions?
Yeah, I'd like to make the motion to leave it in the capable hands of both Adam and our esteemed director over there to make those decisions. I don't have any problem with the choices made. We obviously don't know what you considered, but we don't want to go down that road. You guys, I'm sure, have done a thorough job, and I trust that you can make a good decision. So my motion is to advise staff to make the choices based on the input that the commission has just given.
Any other second? Any seconds?
I'll second that. Thank you.
There you go. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for all your work and all your wonderful contributions to the new park.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gilman. Madam Vice Chair, I also wanted just to remind the commission, in your staff report, it indicated that our tentative installation date of these signs is March 23rd. So we'll have a core group of volunteers working under the direction of Mr. Gilman, and myself and a few other adults will be out there as well. And so if you would like to join us, just let me know.
All righty. So we're moving along to discussion action item B2, consideration for picnic shelter reservations at Johnny D. Wallace Park. And Mrs. Plummer, that has your name there.
Thank you, Vice Chair West. Members of the commission, tonight we're talking about the picnic shelters and possibility of reservations for some of those shelters at the Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park. So our current status in Goleta is that we have, in all of our parks, we have only 3 picnic shelters that are available for somebody to reserve by fee, and those 3 are located at Stowe Grove Park. The capacities for these 3 sites range from 50 people to 210, depending on the site that you choose. And the fee to reserve the space ranges from $91 to $154. And that just depends on the time of the, depends on the day of the week that you're reserving and the time of the year. There's also a cleaning fee, a deposit that is fully refundable should there be no issues, for $150 for each site that's reserved. And the reservations are on a first come, first serve basis for reservations. But then if somebody from the public came in and it was already reserved, then obviously the person reserving the space gets the reservation. So the current conditions at Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park is we have 6 picnic areas. 2 of them have a covered trellis, pinata poles, double barbecue grill, and 4 picnic tables. 2 of them have a single barbecue grill and 3 picnic tables on the north side of the property, and 2 are with single barbecue grill and 2 picnic tables on the south side of the property, and those are both on the turf area. So this shows you where we're talking about for these location. So these 2 are the covered shelter areas. They both have pinata poles and 4 picnic tables. Each picnic table can seat approximately 6 adults. So we're estimating a capacity of about 24. So it's 24 here, 24 here, and they're right in the middle of all the activity in the park. The other 4 are along the edges of the park turf, and there's 2 of them on the northern end of the property that have 3 picnic tables, which would mean that would seat 18 adults, and then 2 on the southern hemisphere of the northern half, I guess I should say, the southern side of the turf, and that is to seat 12 people. So at this time, all 6 picnic areas are considered on a first-come, first-served basis. If there's a desire to make any of these locations reservable, staff would recommend to limit that to the 2 areas with the picnic shelters. If we want to institute this before the new fiscal year, the fee would be the same as that Stowe Grove Park fee, and including that cleaning deposit. So I wanted to make sure that that commission is aware of that. And our next steps would be that if the commission does want to see picnic spaces that can be reserved at Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park, a recommendation would then need to go before the city council. The fee for this location would be considered in the city's fee study that's currently underway, and the consultant's information would allow staff to share the true cost to the council, which is what the fee study is all about. So it would, they would tell us that it costs the city X number of dollars to have somebody rent that space to clean up after them and so forth. And then if there's any consideration of a fee reduction, that would be a council action after the fee study had been completed. So we're anticipating that the fee study would come into play right around the beginning of the fiscal year. So that's why I wanted to share with you that if we did implement something earlier, we would have to stay with our current fee schedule and follow the fees that are set forth at Stowe Grove, or we can consider the process and look to move forward. The concern that we've had and we've heard, I have received three different calls already requesting to rent the spaces. So, and as people see the park in the next 6 weeks, we'll sure see that number go up. I'm pretty positive. But the other thing to consider and remember is that if somebody does reserve it, there are implications in the sense that there's going to be more work for the front desk personnel here at City Hall. She currently handles the reservations at Stowe Grove Park. The residents from outside the neighborhood may rent those spaces, so that would eliminate the opportunities for the local neighborhood residents. The fees generated, however, would support the maintenance of the city's public park areas, and staff would know who to contact for restitution should damages occur. So that can be a plus, and it also provides accurate documentation of our park users for those reserved areas. But it is important to know that if we do implement a reservation process, that residents from outside the neighborhood may rent the spaces, eliminating opportunity for those local neighborhood residents to those two spaces. So that being said, I wanted to let you know I'm available for any questions, and we can open the park, keep it status quo, keep observing it, and watch to see what happens and come back at a later date, or we can start the process and carry a recommendation forward to council for consideration.
I have a thought. I'm not necessarily saying it's a good one, but when we discussed that we were going to give that big, and I'm sorry, I don't know exactly what it is, behind the skate park, we were going to decide in months ahead if we were going to leave it plain or if we were going to put a painted mirror. The wall. Wall. Okay. If you know, so we're kind of playing with that thought in the near future. What if we would do one of your suggestions and let the park open and let it just see how it flows for the first maybe 3 months before we immediately implement something new? Because my thoughts is that park is for the people who live near that park. It's a community park. And I want the signs to be bilingual. I want the residents there to feel very at home there. And if there's constantly going to be weddings and this, and the people who live there can't walk over and participate and have a picnic in their own neighborhood park, then I just kind of question that.
Well, I like the fact that it was addressed that you have two areas proposed as reservable. I think as a, you know, like you said, having a working time period, that's a nice start because it can either be increased or decreased according to the demands. But I think that there is a need. Obviously, you have the experience with Stowe Park reservation system. You know, some people need certainty when they're having a gathering, whether it be I've gone to school functions and a variety of different things at Stowe Park. So I think that the definite availability of a reservation system is important to a lot of people in the community. But I think we're serving both by not letting them all be reserved. I like that approach.
I agree with you, and I just wanted to add that a sense of security, having something in writing, is very important, especially for parties. I've been in a situation where I show up and walk to the bathroom and my stuff's moved or the table's taken over. I also know I've gone to places where people go and show up as early as 5, you know, in the morning to try to secure a location. So just having something in writing and knowing for special events, I think is very important.
And
Excuse me, I have another question. Do you find that the rate of the $91 to the other end, do you find that easily obtainable to the young families and the older residents who make up that community? I mean, do you think those families can easily afford to have a child's birthday party reserved?
Vice Chair West, in response to that question, that's a question that staff has been talking a lot about. We don't have the authority to waive or reduce fees, and that's why this item is coming to you now, because the city is going into a fee study, and they can let the council know, again, it costs X to have a picnic shelter reservation, but then if council would like to consider a fee reduction, there is some justification from the Stowe Park ones, because the numbers that this site can accommodate are significantly less than those at Stowe Park. So outside of the affordability, there still is justification on the sheer numbers and the size of the park site. So there would be that type of information communicated to council. Again, that's not our call. It's just we would be taking the facts to the council. This is where the fee study has taken us. This is what we have in other areas of the park. And then we are concerned about the residents in that neighborhood, and we would definitely make the council aware of that as well.
I think something also that's very important is the access to the information, is how people will be able to be informed on who to call and the process of reserving a park. I think that's very important. I know that a lot of things are done online, take payments online, but from my experience, I've had to go directly in person to reserve a park. I don't know if that's the same here in Goleta, but I also feel that having the calendar of availability, people will navigate around dates that are reserved or not reserved. But I think just as important is having at the park a number displayed, both English and Spanish, and maybe a process like a protocol of what to do step by step to reserve a park.
And I believe there definitely needs to be a fee involved because of the cleaning, the patrolmen, you know, everything. I definitely think that's valuable.
So is that enough direction, or do you actually literally need a motion from us?
Because this is a discussion action item, I do need a motion.
Okay.
That you would like a recommendation for reservation process for the picnic shelters, for two of the picnic shelters at the Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park to carry forward.
Okie doke. Any Commissioner Hart, do you want to go for it?
I am going to try to maximize my time. Okay, I wasn't listening. No, I was. I would like to move that we go forward with the tentative structure of having two of the picnic areas reservable and the fee structure to be analyzed as we go forward.
And that will be effective at park opening?
At park opening.
Okay. How does that sound?
So if we move forward with that at park opening means we would need to use the fees associated with Stowe Grove Park, or we can, as Commissioner Hart mentioned, have the fees analyzed, take a recommendation to council, then we could have it go through this process and potentially start the new fiscal year.
Oh, so we're starting July 1st with that, which is probably sooner than we all realize. Yes. So anybody want to give us a second on that?
A second?
Yay. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, there you go. We got it?
Yes.
Okay.
And, Commissioner Rodriguez, I just wanted to share with you, at the last meeting, we talked a lot about the handball wall, and we were going to watch that. But we also mentioned that the city clerk is putting up a message board out there to display any city meetings or public meetings and information that the residents out there need to know in English and in Spanish, so which is the perfect location to list items like you mentioned.
Great. Okay. Moving along, we're at action and discussion item B3, consideration of reservation of recreation amenities. I'm sorry, I could barely get that out, in city parks. And Mrs. Plummer, you're on again.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. So just like we just spoke about Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park, we also wanted to talk a little bit about some of our other recreation amenities and the fact that currently in the city, we do not reserve any recreation amenity besides those three locations at Stowe Grove Park. So the reason that I wanted to bring this up now is that, oh, there it is. Sorry. It doesn't want to go to the next one. Okay, so I'm having technical difficulties, but you're so good. Okay, so our current status, and Galita has mentioned, the three shelters at Stowe Grove Park are the only ones we have available. The capacity, no, this is the other one? This is the other one. Oh, okay, then that's the right one. So the, I apologize. Yay, now it's working. Okay, so we have the three picnic shelters, the capacities of those, and the fees, and then the opportunities that we don't have in Goleta is to rent our athletic field space or our disc golf space, our pickleball courts, tennis courts, basketball courts, and even our new skate park. So I've listed the amenities here, and the reason, there's a couple different reasons that I wanted to share with you that these would be the amenities that we would be considering, and that there are other amenities in city parks that we would not be considering at this time, like the playgrounds, the fitness equipment, regular picnic tables with braziers, and things like that. The athletic fields, the reason that we're looking at the athletic fields is in our recreation needs assessment, it was identified that we needed to have more open athletic field space for recreational activities like soccer and baseball and everything else. So we're starting to get those. We'll have Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park up and running soon. We also will be having the Community Center Park parcel up and running soon. So if we wanted to be able to actually reserve those spaces so soccer teams would know that they have practice there, or a baseball team, versus right now what they're doing is they're finding a green space and going out there and hoping it's available. So again, a fee structure for something like this would be considered in the city's current fee study with recommendations going forward to city council. But that was the athletic field space. The disc golf space, we reserve it kind of haphazardly once a year for a disc golf tournament. And other than that, it would be if somebody wanted to kind of come in and do a tournament, then it gives them the chance to ask people to not utilize the space. We currently haven't had any issues because the person coordinating our disc golf tournament is one of our players, and all the players that are out there he incorporates into the tournament, so it works out well. But the pickleball courts, we have the temporary ones at Evergreen Park, and then we'll have a permanent one at Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park. And then tennis courts, we have three different locations for our tennis courts, and the big reason for tennis courts is twofold. One is if we wanted to offer a clinic or a workshop out there, we want to make sure that we have that space reserved. Or if we wanted to allow somebody to come in and do tennis lessons, then we have control over who's using our courts. Again, if we are doing this, then we would make sure that they had the right insurance and everything is collected, and we're following protocols. Same with the basketball court and the skate park. And the reason the skate park's up there is we have a lot of enthusiastic skaters in our community who are really ready to do workshops and classes and clinics, and our current process doesn't have an opportunity to do something official like that. So this is the table that staff is recommending for consideration. So we have a couple different options. One would be to keep all recreation amenities as is, which is first come, first served. Provide a recommendation to City Council to consider a reservation process and a user fee for those recreation amenities. And if recommended, reservations would not be permitted until the new fiscal year. The next steps, if the commission desires, if they'd like to see the recreation amenities reservable, a recommendation would need to come forward to the City Council. The fees established would be considered in the city's fee study that's currently underway, and the consultant's information, just like with the picnic shelters, would allow staff to share the true cost to the council. And then once again, any consideration of fee reduction would be a council action after the fee study had been completed. The impacts, similar to those on the picnic shelter, is it's more work for the front desk personnel at City Hall. The residents from outside the neighborhood may rent the spaces, eliminating opportunity to local residents. So while this is very true for the Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park, it's also true for once we renovate Evergreen Park and we have somebody reserving maybe that athletic space or those tennis courts, then the neighbors in that neighborhood aren't used to having somebody reserve that space, and now that space is not available for them. So this is a new concept here for Goleta. We've gone 17 years. Our birthday was last weekend, and we've never had a process like this. So this is brand new. Fees generated would support the maintenance of the city's public park areas, and opportunities would be created for commercial recreation activities in city parks, for example, tennis lessons, skateboard workshops, and so forth. Even when it comes to like soccer and baseball and football, we could even have workshops or summer camps. Accurate documentation of park users, again, for reserved space. And where this comes into play is if we have a resident that, let's say, at Winchester 2 Park has a lots of great open park space. We have a soccer team out there. They're practicing. They leave a lot of trash or debris. And we get a call from a resident. We're able to contact that youth sports organization and let them know your team that was out there, which they handle those schedules and coordination. There was a problem and we need you to clean it up. So it does allow for that. However, again, we have a lot of people that have been using our parks on a first come, first serve basis, and it's working well for them. So that's another reason why there's a lot to weigh in on this, and that's why we're bringing it to you. So that's all I have for you. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Hart?
I don't recall. In the rec needs assessment, did any of this come up, or was it addressed in any of the community forums, workshops, whatever we called them, for the rec needs assessment about reservation systems and fee-based systems?
To the best of my knowledge, and I wasn't here during our community workshops, but in everything that I've read, the one thing that keeps standing out is we needed more field space for youth sports. That's why one of the suggestions was that we look into a joint use agreement with some of the schools for the field space. Even if we looked into a joint use agreement, the schools are still being utilized by those youth sports groups, and they're coordinating directly with the schools. So if we're going to be coordinating any kind of effort, then it would be a reservation process. A fee would need to go along with it. The city would have to have a fee for the process. Whether the council wants to waive or reduce that fee is at council's discretion. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I don't think there was any outcry for a need for a reservation system, though, that I recalled in the rec needs. I just wanted to verify that if we can. I mean, we might need to go back and look at that, but that, you know, ultimately we're serving the community's needs here,
right?
And we ought to know what those needs are. But
the one thing I'd like to say. Back in the old days when I think Commissioner Hart and I are your two remaining long-term commissioners, I did attend almost all of those, from at the various schools to the big, great workshops we had at Goleta Valley Community Center. And I don't recall there ever be, I think you're right, Commissioner Hart, there was no discussion about eventual fees being charged in the future as we repaired playground equipment and as we repaired the fields. There was a strong wanting to collaborate and do these joint ventures and have the memorandums of understanding, but I don't recall discussion of fees at all.
As somebody who does private lessons in the parks, for me to go out and get insurance and reserve it, it's at that point it becomes not a moneymaker for me, so I wouldn't even bother with it. So that's just my point of view. I think, you know, the more challenge you make for people, they won't use the parks for those things. But I do think that the school district has to continue to make those reservations, because they're our primary users, or the youth leagues. But I don't think we should be charging nickel and diming everybody here. That's not what Parks is about. You know, we want them to recreate without having to pay for things. So.
Okay, so I know we do have a request to speak from Dr. Cox on B3, which is right where we're at. So welcome, Dr. Cox.
Thank you, Chair West. I just arrived in time. We live next to a city park and see daily the activities and reactions people have when they are enjoying the swing set and interacting with their dogs. To me, the main reason for having a park is that sometimes people make impromptu visits. They use the swings for relaxation or want to play with their dogs. Creating a reservation process for any recreation, as suggested by staff, is too broad and will definitely limit residents' access. That is not why the parks are there. Everyone needs an outlet for stress. For example, situational stress, boyfriend-girlfriend issues, work-related. We also see people with disabilities using the park swings. The park is their friend, in my interpretation. If you impose a reservation system for all activities, you destroy the spontaneity of the visit to the park. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming tonight, Dr. Cox. So,
we still have more comments.
I just wanted to acknowledge and appreciate the mentioning of the residential access because that was a huge concern of mine in discussing this. I know that residents have been waiting for this park for a long time, and when we talk about scheduling and sports clinics, and I'm just concerned that it's not going to be free and open for a child to just go across the street and want to pass the ball around, and how intimidating it would be to see a team practicing and not be able to step foot on the field, even though it's open and not reserved. So I imagine that if we were going to do reservations, that there would be a schedule posted and it would be considered, like you said, there was going to be a board, the time and restrictions, because it does need to be open for the public.
Vice Chair West, if I may, just a little clarification. So this was not to reserve or restrict any kind of access to the parks by any means. Obviously, the parks are there for people to enjoy them. We're looking at opportunities that could be reserved, not always would be. We can set parameters of when that reservation time would be there. But for example, if Commissioner McGulpin was to hold a clinic for sand volleyball. Our sand volleyball courts are not necessarily a reservable process at this point. So she could go out there with 20, 30 girls and not have access to those sand courts. So it's along those lines, just like you mentioned for the picnic shelter, that it's nice if you're planning a birthday party or if a coach is planning a practice or if somebody wants, we don't have an avenue right now for somebody to do private lessons in our parks of any kind, or a workshop or a clinic. They can only do that with a concessionaire's agreement as defined by our municipal code. So we can look at something and even look at scaling something back, scaling something down. But if we wanted to, if we get calls on a regular basis telling us that there are people holding tennis lessons on our tennis courts and we need to stop them, we don't have an avenue for them to do that besides a concessionaire's agreement. So we were looking at a more simple process to allow that type of activity that's currently happening to continue and possibly open the doors for additional activity. Dr. Cox had mentioned that we want the parks available to people. That is our number one goal. We want the parks accessible, available. We want people in the parks. We don't want to turn people away from the parks. And again, we can define the restrictions. It's only available for reservation during X period. If the commission chooses, we could stay status quo, keeping in mind that those people out there that are doing tennis lessons on our tennis courts, we chase them off. We have nowhere for them to go do them. That's a service that's currently being provided that technically shouldn't be being provided, if that helps explain. So we're not trying to keep anybody out of the park, but it is important because we have never had a reservation process for the commission to understand that even if we put parameters on certain times and spaces, that does make it not potentially not available if it is reserved.
Commissioner Hart?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm sorry, I don't want to say just Joanne, so I'm going to stick with that. I agree with you, Joanne. I think that in the absence of any problems or stated needs by the community, I don't see a need for this. But if you are doing a study, and we might need that opportunity in the future, it would be nice to expand it to include this, so that if we do encounter, you know, some conflicts, some needs, some complaints, et cetera, and need to address it, that we would have a structure for dealing with that. I actually imagine that athletic field at Johnny D. Wallace might be one of those high demand places that might be captured. But a lot of the other things, I just don't see it. None of the courts, can I imagine, would require it, but again, the athletic fields are a premium, so I would like to have that structure available if it doesn't increase the cost of the study significantly.
Okay, so I don't want to look your way for a motion. Anybody'd like to make a motion as far as the direction that we would like to give staff?
You will look at that way. Go for it.
Well, I'd like to make a motion with what Commissioner Hart said. I think we do need a study, and let's incorporate that in before we make a decision. So if it doesn't need to happen today, we don't need to do this. That would be what I would recommend. You know, just hold off and wait a little bit until we see what the study brings, and keep the structure the same.
All right, any seconds?
I'll second that.
All right, all those in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Great. So there is your recommendation, Mrs. Plummer. Okay, we are going to move on to item C, which is our project updates.
Thank you, Chair West. As usual, we provide you with a little status report about what's been happening and what's coming up with some of our projects. And we wanted to share with you, have a copy of the flyer, both in English and in Spanish, the Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park. Mark your calendar for the grand opening celebration. It will take place on Saturday, March 30th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., with our ribbon cutting at 11 a.m. So you can see on the little flyer there that future is crossed out. Now we have the home of an Old Town Neighborhood Park coming to us. So things are moving along there. There's some big items that need to go in, but that list is coming, dwindling down. So we're real excited. The park did fare very well through the lots of rain we experienced last weekend. We found a few different issues, and we're kind of excited that we have seen so much rain, in the sense that it allowed us to catch a few different issues that we can address during construction now. So lots of excitement happening there, and the wind was nice and took down the construction fence, so a lot of people got a sneak peek at that. So we were able to get that fence back up, secure the site, but a lot of the screen is down, so we've had a lot of looky-loos over there. Very exciting. The Parks Master Plan, as you recall, we were trying to get this to you at this date, but we didn't receive our first draft until January, and we returned those edits to the vendor. We're hoping to see the second draft to come before the Parks and Recreation Commission at our next meeting on April 3rd. The council will review the same draft on April 16th, and we'll make sure that they're aware of any comments that you provide to us as well, and we're hoping to get the comments right back to the vendor immediately following with adoption of the Parks Master Plan in June of 2019. This was a labor-intensive process. We asked the vendor for a lot of information, and they've done a really good job. So it's just a lot of information. So we'll be getting that out to you early on an early release for that April 3rd meeting. The improvements to the athletic field at the community center, our final documents are expected this week, and we're hoping to take council action on February 19th at the city council meeting requesting permission to put this project out to bid. If not, we'll be going out to bid 1 month from today at the very latest. All the recreation amenities that we talked about will be listed as bid alternates, and that's because we're hearing some funny things in the construction world, so we want to make sure that we don't have anything that's going to hold it up, and if our numbers come in a little wonky, then we can make some decisions and council can decide what they want to add and what they want to subtract. The base product will be the DG path around the park, a brand new irrigation, a brand new turf, and gopher wire. So that'll be very exciting. The miscellaneous park improvements, you may have heard a lot of activity about this. In December, the council approved a purchasing agreement where we have ordered equipment for four of the park sites. There is council discussion on February 19th regarding the exact placement of the playground at the Winchester 2 Park. And our next steps would be the site preparation at the four locations, and then the bid installation and surfacing will go out. Again, we'll go to council for permission to bid that, and then also go back to council for the award of that. And then the playgrounds will be complete. So we're hoping that this will all take place this year. And if we can push through and Mother Nature is our friend through this process, we're hoping that this can be completed by the first half of this year. And then in our community garden, so I wanted to make sure that you knew we hadn't lost sight of the community garden. The design for this project has been delayed until a little bit later in 2019. We're working with some coordination efforts on another project to allow the design to help with some potential mitigations that we need related to the bike path. So staff will be working on the design and bring that before the commission later this year. And that's all the updates I have for you right now, unless you had any questions on any of the projects that we've been working on.
I have a couple of questions, please. The first one is regarding the restroom choice presentation you made, I think, a couple of meetings ago. Can you give us an update on what's going on there?
Sure, that is the restroom at Evergreen Park. And as you may recall, there was a lot of discussion at the commission level, and then we actually received a lot of comments from the council as well for consideration of reclaimed water as well as solar activity for that facility. So we've been doing a lot of background work and research trying to determine some basic cost analysis to see the benefits. We've worked very closely with Goleta Water, and we've presented that information for consideration to the city manager, and we're awaiting direction. So still moving forward. We just took a little bit of a left turn for a little bit, and we're hoping to get that one back on track.
Thank you. And then my last question was in regards to one of the reasons why we selected the vendor for the four parks' new equipment was the collaboration that the city of Goleta was going to have with them in order to create shining examples at these parks based upon the equipment and its impact on the community. So I was wondering, mid-year when these might be all done, what kind of thoughts and plans might there be to receive countrywide recognition that the city of Goleta have created these great parks with this particular type of equipment?
Thank you, Vice Chair West. So three of the four parks that we're currently renovating would be considered by our vendor as national demonstration sites to meet the national demonstration sites for physical fitness related to the physical elements of play. So it reaches all different elements of play to include swinging, sliding, spinning, brachiating, which is hand-over-hand action, and climbing, and balance. And so the two playgrounds at Animar Park and at Winchester 2 both have met all of those elements in their design, and so they'll be classified as a national demonstration site. Both look completely different, so it's really exciting to see how you can meet all of those needs in two totally different looks. And then the third one is the Winchester One property will have fitness equipment similar to what we see at Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park. And that fitness equipment meets the four elements of physical fitness, which was strength, core, cardio, and there's another one that I can't remember off the top of my head. I apologize. But it meets all four of those. So that'll be a national demonstration site. And so what that means is we will receive national recognition from the vendor, and they do a campaign and share that information nationwide. And so if other cities are saying, how were you able to meet this? They can look at our playgrounds and see. We'll become an example to other agencies. And again, it's really exciting because there are currently no national demonstration sites in California through this vendor right now. So real exciting that we're actually, they've designed three of those for us.
I know that was one of the reasons why we were so impressed with them. So really, they do the national recognition. It's not more work for you and other staff, City of Goleta staff members.
They will work with our community information officer.
That's great.
I have a question. In this latest storm, I'm sure you are aware, in Winchester 2, we lost two trees. Fortunately, they fell away from the homes in two different areas. So my question would be, before we start putting all this beautiful structure in, have we sent an arborist out to examine the trees, if they're dead because of the drought, now with the added water that is saturating our grounds, are we going to lose more trees? Are they going to fall onto the playground structures? Are we going to, you know, is there a liability issue? Has anybody checked the trees?
Commissioner McGulpin, that's a really good comment. All over the city, we lost a lot of trees after this last storm. The winds were so horrific. So we will be doing assessments because of the storms and the reaction that we had citywide. We're working on some things. At Winchester 2, there's also one tree that actually I had the arborist scheduled to come take a look at because of what it drops. It has a really big, thorny type of large acorn type of thing that it drops. It's a gum tree. Okay. So it looks like it's going to drop a weapon. And so I wanted the arborist to take a look at that tree and share some more information about that tree with us. But I was not aware about the Winchester 2 loss of two different trees. So we'll definitely go out there and any of the sites that we're looking at doing improvements and make sure that our new equipment is safe and the kids using the equipment is safe is most important.
Okay, it looks like we're going to move on to agenda item D for our director's report.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. I have a few items to report to you as part of the director's report tonight. So we've lost two commissioners from the Parks and Recreation Commission. As you are aware, Ms. Kathleen Werner resigned, and also Ms. Claudia Dato resigned from the commission. Ms. Kathleen Werner took a job as a board member with the Sand District, Water District. I'm sorry, I'm confusing my districts. So we also just wanted to publicly thank both Kathleen and Claudia for all the work that they did on the commission. We do have a new process for appointments to the commission we are working with the city clerk's office, and also she is working with the mayor, Paula Perotti, for the appointments to various commissions here at the city. So that process is under consideration and underway. All current commissioners on the Parks and Recreation Commission will remain serving until new appointments have been made. So as we get updates from the clerk's office in this regard, we will absolutely keep you informed. Interviews and appointments may be as soon as late February this month and as late as March. So fairly short time frame. We're already in February, and we appreciate very much the patience of the current commissioners, as well as those that have applied to serve on the Parks and Recreation Commission already. So we'll keep you posted on that. We have new zoning ordinance workshops underway. It's an exciting process to see the new zoning ordinance come into this process. So there is a workshop tomorrow from 6 to 7:30 here at City Hall, and also on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. here again at City Hall. As Ms. Plummer indicated earlier tonight, we're super excited about the grand opening ceremony for Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park on March 30th, again from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and the ribbon cutting will be at 11 a.m. Sharp. So we hope to see lots of people at the grand opening. We will certainly be inviting a whole group of folks, including some of our former, all of our former Parks and Recreation commissioners, one of whom is now our Mayor Pro Tem, Kyle Richards. But it's just such a wonderful project to see come to fruition and come to completion. We've had just a tremendous collaborative effort with the community, and we're so pleased that that park really reflects that collaboration. We also have approaching on the calendar the Community State of the City event at the Goleta Valley Community Center on April 4th at 6 p.m. This is a Thursday, so this is a free event, and there's always a good turnout there, so you'll be able to hear about all the things going on at the city. And also on April 9th from 11:30 to 1:30, which is a Tuesday, is the State of the City event hosted by the Goleta Chamber of Commerce at the Ritz-Carlton Bacara. And some of you have gone to that event in the past, and it's a great event. Both of these events are great to just share all of the very great things that are going on at the city, all the positive work that's taking place here. It's almost that time of year where we're talking about Deltopia. This is in April. Typically held on the first weekend of April, April 5th through 7th. These parking restrictions will be coming to the council on February 19th for their consideration. And as the commission is aware, there are two events each year where we implement parking restrictions to protect the neighborhoods that have been historically affected most by Deltopia and by Halloween. So two times a year we go through this process. We've received quite a bit of support from the residents who have said, hey, it's nice to have our neighborhoods back and not have all the disruptions that they've seen in prior years from these events. For future agenda items, we will continue providing you the status of our capital improvement projects. There's many on the way and many underway. We also are continuing our work with the consultant on the Parks Master Plan. That will be coming back to you. And we also wanted to talk about the local training for commissioners, which Ms. Plummer is working on the schedule for. You'd like to chime in?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Adamidis. The training that was held last weekend in Santa Maria from the State Board of Associations for Parks and Recreation Commissions and Committees and Boards was fabulous. And I attended and took back a lot of information, and we're working locally with City of Santa Barbara and Isla Vista Park and Rec District to see about putting together some local, maybe taking one of those topics and maybe looking at once a year or twice a year, just a couple hours of your day to kind of share some of that information. The topics were great, and the interaction amongst other commissioners from all over South County was wonderful. So we're hoping to replicate that on a smaller scale here. And again, we're working in collaboration with City of Santa Barbara and Isla Vista Park and Rec District and seeing what we can do for our commissioners here. And so again, on a smaller scale. And then we're looking forward to hopefully seeing some more of those regional trainings for our commissioners in the future.
The one last item I wanted to share with the commission is also through our emergency services coordinator, Mr. Michael Barris, another new member of our departmental team. He has been working with Anthony Rodriguez, and as many of you know, and we will be having a very busy year this year with CERT training events. We have the newsletter that's going out to all of the CERT Corps members, and also some events to reach out and continue training opportunities for all the CERTs who have gone through training, who would like additional training throughout the year. So the CERT program has really been a tremendous opportunity for people to step forward and learn some important skills to be used during emergencies, to share those skills with their family and friends and neighbors. And as we've already seen in some of the major incidents in our area, the CERT Volunteer Corps has been greatly appreciated, and we're so proud of all the work that they have put in. So it's just great to have that core of volunteers here in Goleta, and we really value so much their efforts when we need them. And this concludes my director's report for tonight, for the month of February, and I will have more at our next meeting.
Well, we thank you all very much for being with us tonight, and tonight's meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.